Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever gone spelunking? That's cave exploring. Or possibly taken a cave tour where they bring you to the furthest reaches of the cave and then turn off the lights. As you sit in the darkness and hold your hand out in front of you, it's only then that you realize you can't even see your fingers wiggling in the dark. At least, that's my experience. You see, as a kid, I was in the Boy Scouts, and in the Scouts, we would go on campouts all around the surrounding countryside of our small town of Herman, Missouri, mostly on the various farms and private land held by relatives of the Scouts. We made it a point to go camping at least once a month, if not more. One of our favorite locations was southwest of Herman, a small cattle farm that included a large section of hilly Ozark terrain. This was one of our favorites because not only was it a good place to build survival shelters, but it also contained a natural, undeveloped cave. To get to this cave, we had to walk up the hill a little ways from where we normally camped. And then once we reached the foot of a small cliff, we would walk along the edge until we found a crack in the rock. This crack looked like a section of cliff had broken off and slid down the hill just a couple feet from the main cliff. But it was there that we would climb down to the bottom, and we'd see that the cliff itself didn't actually touch the ground. It didn't go all the way, and so instead you could actually crawl underneath the cliff through the opening back into the cave. Once you crawled on your hands and your knees for about 10 or 12 feet, you could then go up and out into a small, medium-sized entry chamber. It was about 5 feet high in there, and the younger scouts could stand. The older scouts would have to hunch over a little bit. However, from this chamber, you could then crawl underneath another small ledge and go into the main room. In this main room, you could stand easily and even reach your arms up as high as you could without being able to touch the ceiling. There were a few stalactites and stalagmites, but mostly just damp, smooth limestone that would glisten as our flashlights and headlamps shone on them. There was really only one shaft that came off of the main room and another smaller shaft that came off the smaller entry chamber. We would go to these shafts and go as far as we could go, but we never did find any other rooms. So this wasn't a large cave, but it was undeveloped and uncommercialized all the same. So that being said, after exploring in the light, we would often play in the darkness. In fact, the darkness was the main draw for this cave. It's hard to truly experience complete darkness anywhere else. In your bedroom at night with the blinds pulled and the windows closed, there's still almost always some sort of light that seeps in. Or there's light from your clock or your cell phone charger or maybe even a nightlight. Given enough time, your eyes adjust to the dimness and you can at least see shadows and silhouettes. However, in this cave, once you turned out the lights, the world would vanish. We couldn't see our own hand waved in front of our own eyes. We would no longer be standing in a cave. We'd be standing in a black abyss, formless and empty. It was during these times of complete darkness that some of the older scouts would bully and play jokes on the younger, innocent scouts. I'll let your imagination come up with the things that took place because, honestly, the imagination of those scouts was the only thing limiting them. Eventually, however, someone would turn back on the lights and expose the works of those bullies. At the dawn of the light, the bullies would yell and tell the other scouts to turn them back off and try to get them to return to darkness. You see, those bullies loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. And this is the judgment. The light of the world has stepped down into darkness. Jesus has come to earth to be our light. He is the light of God sent to reveal and expose our wickedness. The wickedness that we do when we think no one can see, when we are focused on our own will and ignoring how our actions hurt our neighbor and how our actions grieve God. Jesus, the light of the world, shows us what it means to live in the light. He shows us through God's word and commandments that to live in the light is to live a life of service to your neighbor, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. But we have loved the darkness rather than the light. In fear over our sins, we have fled to the darkness, hoping to keep the evil things that we have done hidden. We fear what our spouse, our kids, our friends, our neighbor would think if they only knew what we have done. We fear allowing our works to be exposed to the light. And in that fear, we hold on to the burden of our sin. We love the darkness rather than the light. But Jesus, the light of the world, has stepped down into the darkness of our sin. He brings to light the things that we have done and says to you and me, repent and turn to the light. Return to the kingdom of God. He doesn't condemn us, but instead, he forgives us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. God's will is that we believe his words, that we trust and believe in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. That we believe and are baptized, because through baptism, we can see the light of forgiveness. Through baptism, we have been given the faith in the Son of God and have eternal life. Through baptism, we have been placed into the light of salvation. Therefore, when you step out of the light and into the darkness of your sin, remember your baptism. Remember whose you are, and you will see the light shining from afar. Then, in repentance and faith, come back to the light. Expose your sin to the light of the world, and let God remove your burden. God forgives your sin, because Jesus has destroyed the darkness of your heart with his light. Not because of anything you have done, but because God loved you. He wanted to lift the burden of your sin, so he sent his Son. He sent Jesus to take the burden of your sin upon himself, to die and be forsaken by God because of the sin placed upon him, to take the punishment for your sins. Because God's will was for Jesus to die in our place so that the light of his forgiveness could shine into our hearts. To restore you to him, because whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In your baptism, the light of God has opened your eyes. As redeemed and forgiven sinners, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to live in the light and let your works be clearly seen. Clearly seen to be done in the love as an agent of God. Amen. Now may the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.